Looking at the number of people that are here, hopefully this will be the whole thing. In my immediate right, I'm going to meet Honorable Zenka.
Good morning, my name is Joe Mizua from the North Valley.
Thank you very much. I can see the subject is very put up on this last presentation, but honorable members, just to indicate that the portfolio committee received today is part of Parliament's involvement in the national government budget process. And that budget is, Parliament is expected to pass the budget before the end of this month. Last of July 2014. So hence we had this meeting. Before we can officially allow the department to present, I want to also acknowledge if there are any apologies from the department, and also indicate that Honorable Soma and Honorable Yali Boy will be joining us. They are also members of this committee. Are there any apologies? Okay. Just to inform that there is Mr. Hadide and send an apology. The agenda item, I hope all of us will do copies of the agenda. We're now going to adopt briefing by the Department of Public Service and Administration. I'm going to give you 1 hour, 30 minutes to do that. Then after we will engage with the presentation and we'll take a break. And then we will then allow another department to present. Before that, before the CD can take us through the presentation, I'm going to give the minister an opportunity to take us through, and we will also indicate and advise us of who is going to present and the
Thank you very much. My name is Honorable Colin Savant, the Minister for Public and Administration. Together with the Chief Minister, I am the Governor for Public Service and Administration. We, and the Chair, and the Chair of the time limit. We were prepared our presentation, the CGU will take us through the presentation, which will include the presentations allowing institutions to receive contracts through the Department of Public Service and Administration. And then we'll then deal with the issues which will arise in the course of the discussion for the CGU. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm also in a position before we start there that you also clarify the lines of reporting in the which happens with monitoring and evaluation or professors be allowed. Okay, the presentation will be later. Okay, all right, over to you, Stevie.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. Good morning. The presentation will be focusing on the vote for public service and administration. In terms of that vote, the an action student that I have at the Department of Public Service and Administration, the National School of Government. The head and principal of that school is here, Professor Molo. The Center for Public Service Innovation, the head of the school is here also, Mr. Hadere. The Public Service Commission, which is an independent constitutional body, and the Public Sector Education Training Authority, ECTA. In this presentation, we will talk about the constitutional and legislative mandate, the touch briefly on the vision, mission, and vision statement, the strategic goals for 2018-16, the annual performance plan, the budget expenditure and allocation over the medium term expenditure framework. And as a request, I think that we should also specifically reflect the percentage of the budget that we spend on consultants. The starting point, Chapter 10, is Chapter 10 of the Constitution, which talks about the regulatory and principles which must govern public administration in the Republic. It reflects 9 of them, and without going through all of them, but it talks about how public administration should be should promote the highest standard of professional ethics, that it should promote efficient economy and effective use of resources, that the public administration must be development oriented, and so on. We use this as a starting point for all the work that we do, because in whatever we find to do as a portfolio, the issue is to make sure that we promote adherence to these values and principles of public administration. Coming specifically to the Department of Public Service and Administration, the Public Service Act talks specifically about the mandate of the department to support ministers in the areas that are listed there. The minister is responsible for determining norms and standards which relate to the functions of the public service, organizational structures, and establishment of departments. You'll see later in the presentation, for example, that when departments change their organizational structures, there is a requirement that it seek consultation with the Minister for Public Service and Administration. Norms and standards also are set by the minister as empowered by this act in terms of labor relations and conditions of service, in terms of the health and wellness of employees, in terms of information management in the public service, in terms of e-government in the public service, ethics, integrity, and conduct in the public service, and matters relating to reform, transformation, and innovation. A key issue to emphasize as we deal with the legislative mandate, honorable members, is that this mandate, as it stands, is limited to the public service, defined as national and provincial departments of government, so that the municipal sphere, local government sphere, is not part of the mandate at this stage. I think here just to emphasize the issues relating to collective agreements and the role of the minister in making determinations regarding the conditions of service of employees. Over the next few months, the members would realize that this is perhaps one of the most highly profile roles of the minister in that involve issues relating to salary scale of employees, salary increment of employees, but this is a responsibility that the Minister for Public Service and Administration has. And of course, in terms of the Public Service Act, collective agreements that are reached within the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council, which is a council in which the employer, government, and the representative of organized labor sit together. And the agreements that emanate from the council themselves are deemed to be determinations made by the minister in terms of Section 3.5 of the Public Service Act. The vision and mission and value statement is looking at the creation of a professional, productive and responsive public service and administration, by establishing norms and standards, implementing interventions to ensure compliance and functionality in the public service, promoting ethics in the public service, and also contributing towards improved public administration in the continent and internationally. Later in the presentation, the activities will include those that relate to making sure that this mission is operationalized. The vision statement, commonly known in most of the publicity documents of the ministry, being the basis of "We Belong, We Care, We Serve." The strategic goals that we have, the first one is on achieving an efficient and effective public service and administration, where we indicate that our focus is on addressing areas of duplication, voicemail and waste in the public service. We look at rationalization of organizational structures of departments, and we look at the management of discipline in the public service. The second goal is around creating a capable, equitable and public, professional public service administration, where our focus is on introducing measures to professionalize public service, amongst others, including compulsory training programs that are introduced. The third one is around ensuring that the appropriate legislative framework for public service and administration, and there is a range of frameworks that the department works on and introduces in the public service to achieve effectiveness. The fourth one is on promoting a clean and ethical public service administration, and this deals with all the work that the ministry focuses on and the department focuses on around anti-corruption, around integrity, and around ethics and ethical conduct in the public service. And the fifth goal is referred to the work of that we involve in terms of the continent and internationally. And the practical examples will be illustrated when we proceed with the rest of the presentation. The performance plan for 14-15, we indicate here that it's been informed by our strategic plan in the first instance. It's also informed by the National Development Plan. In our case, Chapter 15 in particular, the National Development Plan, which has been translated into a chapter of the Medium Strategic Framework of Government. And then it's in line with the organizational structure of the department. We just touched here, Chairperson, on the chapter I was referring to in the National Development Plan, which requires of us to implement and coordinate interventions which are aimed at achieving an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service. This was identified in the plan as a result of the challenges that have existed in the system in terms of unevenness of capacity, which in turn leads to unevenness in performance in the public service. The unevenness of in performance is related to a number of different factors, but the skills specific, instability of the administrative leadership, the issue of skills, and so on. And in our presentation to the committee, we talk about intervention that seeks to address the area. Now, more specifically, the expectation as part of the National Development Plan is that we will contribute to those particular areas that have been listed there. A stable political administrative interface, and this referring specifically to in government departments, you'll have a minister, deputy minister, and then you'll have the administration. And that interface between the administration and the political level has been identified in the National Development Plan as being very critical for building their capacity and making sure that they continue to function effectively. So that translates at provincial level in terms of MC and the administration as well. Promoting the public service as a career of choice, ensuring that there are sufficient technical and specialist professional skills in the public service, putting in place efficient and effective management operating systems, procurement systems that deliver value for money, strengthening accountability to citizens, improving interdepartmental coordination, and the issue of ethics being reflected. In this field that we are looking at as part of our 2014-15 performance plan and as part of the medium term strategic framework as well, what are the specific actions that we'll be focusing on? The first one is an attempt to contribute towards a stable political administrative interface. And our focus there will be on creating minimum level of public service and administration delegating from executive authorities to accounting officials, because national development spending problematizing this area has indicated that one of the gaps there is the issue of delegations of authority from executive authorities to accounting officers, heads of departments, directors, general, and so on. And the expectation here, therefore, is that those they will have to focus on creating a minimum set of delegations which will, as a matter of course, be made above the public service. This is because the Public Service Act gives authority for a number of areas to executive authorities, which in turn get delegated to accounting officers, but this is done in an even manner because it's left to the individual executive authority. So here, the expectation is that we will provide a platform for creating those minimum levels of obligation from executive authority to accounting officers, and in turn from accounting officers to other senior officials as well. I can indicate that, that work in this area has already been done, that cabinet has actually already approved the framework in this regard. But at the process, we will now focus more on rolling out implementation, supporting departments, and issuing the necessary directives to support this work. We are expected in terms of the NDC as well to introduce a formal graduate recruitment scheme to support departments in attracting and developing young talent. As it is, at the moment, honorable members would know that the recruitment and selection processes are left at individual departments. They recruit from their own, but over the years the complaint has remained that we are not able to recruit, retain the necessary skills that will help us build the capacity of the state. The NDP has suggested that we should introduce such formal graduate recruitment scheme, and as part of our work in the ministry, we will be developing and piloting the recruitment scheme. We should use assessment and mechanisms such as a grant group exercises and competency tests against discrimination in the NDP, and this is one of the activities that we have identified that we'll be working on. So at the moment, the focus is simply on the interview, competency assessments being conducted specifically for senior managers, and then a few reference checks here and there. We need to introduce other mechanisms that will strengthen the recruitment and selection being conducted in the public service. And that's an activity we have to include in our plan. Put in place support programs for departments to ensure that supervisors and managers implement processes which enable frontline staff to provide efficient cases to citizens with courtesy. This is a big word. Now, the focus on particularly frontline services and frontline staff it will be receiving particular attention in this area. Because the expectation is that at the end of the day, the frontline services are the interface between the partners and government. But if they do not receive the necessary support from supervisors and managers, the quality of the interface between them and the public, and as a result, the experience of government that members of the public have become compromised. We'll also be looking at the reviewing and improving and supporting implementation of service delivery improvements in the same system which is provided for in the public service regulation, provided for in directives and guidelines. And the idea here is to make sure that collectively we support departments so that service delivery improvement training can be adequately improved and can be adequately supported in the public service. Furthermore, we're looking at revitalizing and monitoring adherence to the budget in the program. There are very basic things that we're focusing on in this area. Basic things like improving the attitudes of public servants towards members of the public, ensuring that they treat members of the public with courtesy, ensuring that there is responsiveness when members of the public ask for information, the public service is able to respond, and the services that are provided also are responsive. The needs of members of the public. This is part of the program of the ministry. The public service uses a framework called financial disclosure framework, which focuses on senior managers at the moment, in terms of which senior managers are required to annually disclose their financial interests to their executive authorities, and those disclosures then get filed with the public service commission and get scrutinized, so that they can be used as a basis for managing potential conflicts of interest amongst senior managers. Reports over time have indicated that there are areas of weakness in the implementation of the financial disclosure framework, and our focus is on strengthening the implementation of the disclosure framework, among others, by rolling out the implementation of an e-disclosure system, but also supporting departments in ensuring that those who do not comply with the requirement of the disclosure framework that the necessary action is taken. We also require to implement the recommendation around prohibiting public servants from doing business with the state. And at the state, we have worked on an integrity management framework for the public service, which has gone through approved by cabinet. And one of the recommendations included in that framework is around this particular area of prohibiting public servants from doing business with the state. And our focus in this field that we're going into is to ensure that there is implementation of this provision contained in the integrity management framework. What else will we be doing as part of our plan for 14-15? We will be focusing on support intervention procedures in that improvement, where they are support means in individual departments, such as we have seen in some of the provinces, we can take West, Limpopo, and we organize ourselves in teams that can assist the department to deal with particular weaknesses that they have that inhibit service delivery. And we're focusing on the improvement of the management of discipline. Our experience in this area has seen that in some instances it's the problem of the will, but in others it's dealing with the problem of capacity which departments require to enable them to ensure efficient discipline management. And our focus here will be ensuring that we provide that support to monitor the extent to which they are able to deal with the with discipline management in their respective departments. Resolutions that are reached between the state as employer and the representative of organized labor in the PSCDC, the bargaining council, we will also be focusing on ensuring that they are all implemented so that as we move from one round of negotiations to another, we don't move to the deficit of resolutions that have been taken between the employer and organized labor, but which have not been implemented. As part of the agreements that were signed in 2012 between government and organized labor, known as Resolution 1, 2012, one of the clauses looked at the adoption of the public service charter, which will bind both governments and employees and organized labor. That charter was developed, that charter was launched, and the focus will be on implementation as agreed between ourselves and organized labor. We will also be focusing on the implementation of the complaint and compliment framework. We have developed a framework which facilitates the loading of complaints and compliments by members of the public in terms of the services that they receive from members from government, and so that we are then able to have a platform that members of the public can use for this purpose, and which can then also be used to monitor the extent to which departments are responsive to the complaints that are lodged by members of the public. Overall monitoring of that compliance with the public service regulations and the critical issue of improving productivity within the public service here. Our focus is on ensuring that the framework that we have developed, a framework on productivity management in the public service that we have developed, and we're focusing on improving actual productivity through the implementation of the management framework. The capacity of officials, particularly as SMS members, we've introduced a directive on compulsory training and mandatory training days in the public service. The focus will be on ensuring that this is not just optional and opportunities are created for training take place, and for both mandatory training days to be accordingly utilized. The support implementation of the performance award and recognition system, one of the things we've done here is to launch the Battlefield Excellence Award, which not only looks at institutions as a department, but also looks at individuals in departments, such as the best performing head of department and so on. And the issue here is to make sure that we continue to use that as a mechanism to encourage recognition of those that excel, and as a mechanism through which others can actually also aspire to excel when they become aware of what is happening in other departments. Honorable members would know that last year the National Identity considered the public administration management deal, and that deal was later approved. And the issue about the National Assembly, and the issue is once it is signed into law, the focus will be on supporting the implementation of the public administration and management deal, the tender. And number 11 focuses on the framework for Section 100 intervention. The section there refers to the section in the Constitution which provides that if a provincial administration fails to execute certain responsibilities that are assigned to the cabinet at national level, may intervene and assume the administration of that particular province. Having experienced the application of this section in some provinces, the decision was taken that we can actually improve how we implement Section 100 interventions in the provinces by having experience, because the Constitution requires that such a framework be put in place. What the Constitution itself says is not enough to guide implementation when we embark on a Section 100 intervention. So the idea here is to make sure that we have a framework that takes that provision in the Constitution further and facilitates implementation of these interventions. For investigation of corruption-related cases, of course, and the area on referred to the introduction of an electronic disclosure system for the public to facilitate the disclosure of financial interest and to facilitate the analysis of those forms once they have been submitted to look at areas of potential conflict for public terms. The system has already been developed and it has already been introduced. It has already been used for disclosure within the current by Ministry of and the expectation that we're going forward will be looking at the strengthening implementation for the rest of senior management issues. I refer to the public administration and management bill and in this light what we do is just highlight what the purpose of the bill is. And the table, among others, is to promote the basic values and principles governing public administration, which I referred to earlier when I introduced the presentation. It is also there to provide for the transfer and appointment of employees in public administration, and public administration looking in the broad sense in terms of the national sphere, the provincial sphere, and the local sphere as well. And it provides for the establishment of a national pool of government, for purposes of ensuring capacity development and training. It provides for the establishment of an integrity, ethics, and disciplinary technical assistance unit, which will specifically focus on the issues relating to discipline management and the promotion of ethics and integrity in the public service. And it also provides for ministers to be in a position to set minimum norms and standards for public administration. At the moment, norms and standards are set in a manner that allows the Minister for Public Service Administration to focus on national and provincial government while a different process of focus is in place for the municipal the CA, with the result that you don't at the end of the day end up having a common set of norms and standards that change the way national, provincial and municipalities function. The bill also provides for the establishment of an office of compliance and standards which will promote compliance to the norms and standards that we have defined by the minister.
just in terms of the programs that we have in our structure, the first one is administration. This one deals with the basic aspects of corporate services that the departments generally are responsible for, such as submission of annual financial statements to National Treasury and the AG as required. We're also focusing on improving the manner in which we manage risk in the department. In this regard, we're using the framework developed by National Treasury on risk maturity level, which deals with how departments can advance higher levels of risk management, focusing on this risk maturity level as a guide, and our plan is now reach level 5. Control the projects in our internal audit plans, monitoring and reporting progress when it comes to implementing targets in our department, enhancing IT business systems in our department, through communication, engagement with the public, providing the highlights of the department, and then of course came for 2016-2020 from the development of our strategic plan and taking of our 2016 annual performance plan in Parliament. In DPSA, specifically this now organizes the activities I have mentioned according to the various sections that we have. One called Labour will be looking at implementing those resolutions that are reached between ourselves and organized labour. And the agreement that we signed in June 2012 between ourselves and organized labour around wage increases and other things, because the resolution deals with a range of other things. And it comes to an end in 2015, which means that we now have to prepare to get into the next round of negotiation with organized labour so that we are able to, on time, reach agreement on, amongst other things, what the salary increases for the financial year that we would be. Also monitoring discipline management, looking at the implementation of the disciplinary code and procedure in the public service. I mentioned the public service charter that was signed by ourselves and organized labor and the issues to support the implementation of that charter. An agreement as part of that resolution at the top of Resolution 1 of 2012 was that there would be an establishment of a government employee housing scheme. Here the understanding is that once at the moment government provides a housing allowance for public servants at level 10, the allowance is not translating into home ownership on the part of public servants, and then ends up being used for other things like rent house and so on and so on. And some cases can be just seen as part of the salary. It's not helping government facilitate home ownership on the part of public servants. So having learned from the experience that we had in the establishment of the government employees medical scheme, the focus now is on the government employees housing scheme, and developing the business case. Quite a lot of the work in this area has already happened. We had a casting between ourselves and organized labor, which gave this process forward. And of course, the ongoing work that relates to supporting departments when it comes to HR matters. We're developing a remote remuneration policy for the public service, so we're taking it through various iterations in terms of the various drafts, and the idea is now to go to the next level and conclude our consultations with our colleagues in the Chamber, organized labor. The upgrading system for the public service as well, the Human Resource Development Strategy Framework for the public service, monitoring the issue that has been raised before we continue to monitor it, which is how long does it take to fill a post in the public service, so we continue to monitor that and assist persons in this area, and ensuring that the average vacancy rate in the public service also continues to be low. The issue of the graduate recruitment program, I mentioned it in the earlier slide, so I will spend some time on this again. Under government, we work with Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. Once we have the medium-term strategic framework chapter that deals with those areas that I have mentioned on a stable political and administrative interface and so on and so on. We work with them then to make sure that we finalize the program of action, we coordinate the implementation of that program of action, and we submit the report to the government and administration cluster of DGs, after which then they go through relevant committees of cabinet and then into the cabinet. I spoke about the issue of delegation from education authorities to accounting officers, so that's the support we provide there to the department. A critical issue, honorable members, that we also focus on in terms of organizational structures in a manner that tries to promote generic structures. If you take, for example, in the examples that we've given here, health, if you look at health, in province A versus health in province B, there is no need for them to reinvent the wheel and start from scratch every time a department in that sector wants to put in place an organizational establishment. So from the work that the department has done, generic organizational structure has been developed in these various areas, and the focus is on assisting departments to align what they have with the generic structure that has been put in place. Obviously, the understanding is that not all provincial contexts are the same, so they might have to be done where necessary, but by and large, the generic structures then assist in firstly facilitating the development of structures in the provinces, and secondly, making sure that they are more efficient and they are more focused on the mandate of those departments. And from that process, when we engage in assisting when it comes to organizational structures, we are then able to play a monitoring role as well and reporting on the effectiveness and efficiency of this structure. I spoke about the mandatory screening date for members of the senior management. I also spoke about the public sector integrity management framework that has been adopted by cabinet, and our focus there will be on implementation of that framework. I also spoke about the electronic disclosure system, but finally I should just mention that we have also done work in this area of remunerative work outside the capitalism. Now, what happens at the moment is that there is a requirement that if, as a public servant, you're going to engage in work that leads to remuneration in addition to what you do in your job, you will have to seek permission from the executive authority. Sometimes it is delegated to accounting officers to accept the request to perform remunerative work outside the public, outside your employment as a public servant. We realize that there are weaknesses in the manner in which this is implemented, and this is what then ends up leading to people who can do business with the state, or actually people who end up not having enough time to do their job in the public service, because they put in their applications and they can then say that you actually received approval from the executive authority to perform the kind of remunerative work outside their job. So this is what we're doing with the determination to make sure that we improve those gaps that exist in this area. Effective delivery, one of the things that we focus on here is just looking at health departments that are improving the delivery of services to citizens and just checking and reporting on the progress that they're making. We are expected this during the course of the T-Log to introduce a framework for on the professionalization of the public service, and we will do that. There is an operations management framework that the department has developed. It's an issue that has been raised before by the Auditor General, that some of the basic things that they find needed when they go into department is these basic things like standard operating procedures, the issue of unit cost in department. In order to guide departments in this area, DGSA developed an operations management framework which deals with these various aspects, and the focus will be on assisting departments to implement that framework so that they address the kind of gaps that the Auditor General has mentioned. I spoke about the excellent award and the recognition system that we launched last year, and we'll continue to roll this out. One of the responsibilities we have, which I indicated when I was talking about the focus of the department, is contributing to improved public administration in the continent and in the world. Now, there is an instrument that we have acceded to as a country, which is called African Peer Review Mechanism. We play a role in that regard in the sense that we coordinate the implementation of that peer in South Africa, but also then support its implementation in the rest of the continent. South Africa has been assessed already. It has completed all its reports in terms of the national plan of action that emanated from that assessment. The last report was presented by the president to the head of African aid participating in this instrument, and the focus will be on ensuring that, because it's a consultative process, particularly with community and representatives of civil society, that we continue to engage with them on what the report will value for, and then also we put what's preparing for our next round of assessment. We have an instrument that we use to conduct surveys of employees in the public service, and we continue to roll this out to different departments. And earlier on, I spoke about the issue of the disability improvement program in the public service and our role in assisting them, particularly focusing on frontline service delivery. Having introduced the public administration management bill in Parliament, that is signed into law, the expectation is that we'll have to increase regulations that support the implementation of what will then be an act. So our focus will be on developing those regulations that are necessary. One of the things that has been raised several times is when you look at what are commonly known as government one-stop shop centers, people service centers, in the past called multi-purpose community centers. Polls have shown that there are unevenness and differences in terms of which the model itself is implemented in government. And the expectation from our side is that we will put in place a management framework that can promote consistency in terms of which this center operates. For example, reports have shown that in some instances the center will basically be led by somebody who is in charge of an NGO. In others, it will be somebody who works for a premier office. In other instances, it will be somebody who works for a municipality. And all these inconsistencies lead to challenges in terms of the effectiveness with which the centers operate. And the idea here is to make sure that they have an agreed to management framework that can then take the implementation of people service centers to another level, to a higher level in the public service. Mobile service delivery, tested this in various forms, such as other vehicles that social development use, home affairs use, and so on. There is the focus now on the possibility of using mobile trains so that at various stations along this route, there are government services that can be provided. In a sense, the mobile system service center. So the issue here will be on undertaking a feasibility study to look at what will entail for us to run this. Obviously, learning from examples such as the Taylor Pepper model that is being used already. The other things are really just more of our internal efficiency processes. We want to have the register of all public administration policies. We will be looking at the existing ones on an ongoing basis to see the reviews and improvements that need to be effected. We'll be looking to continue to use the National Development Plan as our guiding document in terms of fair policies that may need to be developed. And of course, what we have been missing is a knowledge management framework in the public service. All the knowledge that is gathered sometimes only in the heads of people who, when they resign, that knowledge is lost. To government, sometimes indoors, when people move offices, that also has us not form part of a particular process to make sure that knowledge is properly managed, so that generations after generations of the public service are able to tap into that knowledge. That's what the framework will seek to do. And of course, in partnership with the Department of Performance and Talent Evaluation, we look at NPS results, we then have many workshops where we share. Some departments we have done particularly well in one area. There are case studies called that Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation Project. This will be a platform to share with other departments so that they can learn from one another. We publish what we regard as a learning journal in such a sense, where various people, public servants, and indeed even members of this committee contribute the experiences that they need to share with a wide audience of stakeholders and public servants, and we have three editions that we produce where those case studies in a relatively tight manner are produced. And one key issue here, honourable members, is that it is so simplified that the focus is on the experiences themselves. The focus is not on how you follow a particular academic method of referencing and so on, but it's about sharing those experiences and it therefore allows a range of individuals to contribute experiences without being restricted by strict academic protocols, if one may put it that way. In an attempt to improve the issue of people addressing the concern of people with disabilities in the public sector, apart from achieving the target, one of the issues that has been raised before has been to what extent are we able to ensure that they don't have accommodation and assistive devices, so that once they have joined the inquiry of the public service, the environment itself assists them in staying and performing their job. And that was done here by the department on reasonable accommodation and assistive devices and how the public service can approach this. And the idea will then be monitoring how the department go about implementing this and providing them with the necessary support when they need that support. And then of course the Office of the Chief Information Officer here is really now looking at the IT support as a lever to support the functioning of departments. So one of the things will be to look at the issues of bandwidth and uptime in student service centers, so that the connectivity that has been facilitated to student centers actually enable them to function effectively. Because if connectivity is there, but uptime of the network is less than optimal, then the centers are not able to do their job. The issue of e-government, so that the through e-enablement, certain services can be provided in manners that are more efficient, taking advantage of technology. We focusing also consistently on ICT expenditure in the public service, because reports in the past show that we spend a lot of time on ICT in the public service, but the benefits do not match the spending level. So this is one of the things that the government chief information officer will continue to focus on. And then when the annual performance plan was developed, the expectation was also in terms of the role of the minister in terms of overseeing the functioning of FIDA. To the extent that there is an expectation for the minister to continue playing a role in that area, the department will support the minister. But where there are changes in terms of reporting lines for FIDA, then this particular activity will then fall off. We also include a coordination mechanism where we work with chief information officers in all departments and meet with them regularly to share experiences with them and ensure particularly that they play their role in supporting senior managers in their departments to use IT to improve service delivery. Previously, the web content raised by the Auditor General that it wasn't a common set of norms and standards that all departments use when it comes to ICT governance. So that framework was developed, was approved by that cabinet and introduced to departments, and we've been reporting, monitoring and reporting on the extent which departments are able to apply that framework. And of course, other concerns that the AG would have raised around security risks and so on, relating to the use of IT in the public service, we will be addressing those and introducing mechanisms to make sure that guests are those. Research and analysis, one of the things that we do in this area is to look at the accessibility of service centers, service delivery sites in the public service. So look at the range of sites before, we look at home affairs, we look at the grant payment, social grant payment, to look at the extent to which they are accessible, what are the norms and so on. The focus this time is on supporting service centers, and we'll be looking at the sample of eight provinces. And I thought about the productivity management framework, so the focus is on supporting departments in institutionalizing it, and then conducting studies in departments to see the extent to which there is in this productivity as provided for in the framework. I thought about the unit cost as well, overseeing the development of baseline these costs in selected services. And of course the compliments and complaints management framework which are referred to earlier. We also provide legal services, but this is very important to support the department and advise other entities that we advise on matters relating to the implementation of public service regulation. This was pending for the financial year that ended 31st March 2014. The total for the book as adjusted after the adjusted estimate was 829 million, just about 829 million, and the actual expenditure itself was just over 800 million, leading to percentage spending of 97.51%. In this slide we present the same information, but we do so in terms of economic classification, compensation of employees at 94.7%, goods and services at 96.59%, payment of financial assets 100%, transfers and subsidies 99%, payment of capital assets 99.9%, and the total in the one exception in the area of 97.5%. This slide again presents the same information, but this time around it's not in terms of economic classification, it's in terms of program, showing admin there at over 100%, human resource management and development is 98%, and those up to where it reflects total in the middle, those will be for Department of Public Service and Administration. And then after that you have the Center for Public Service Innovation, Public Sector Education and Training Authority, the National School of Government, and the Public Service Commission. And the total again at the end in the 97.5% referred to in the area slide. This now looks at the allocation for the medium term expenditure framework looking including the outcomes for the year ending 2014, the actual budget for 2014-15, which is the one that is being presented for utilization in the 2014-15 financial year, and then also looking at estimates for the three outer years for the medium term expenditure figures. This is organized by economic classification, and if I could just focus specifically on the total at the bottom, but particularly for 14-15 going forward, the total for 875 million for the current financial year, 876 million for 2015-16 as an NTF estimate, for 16-17 929 million, for 17-18 995 million. Presenting the same information for the keywords I've spoken about, but this time organized the program, you see the total for BPSA at 530 million for the outlying year of 17-18, coming back to 501 in 16-17, and then in 15-16 to 473 million, and then for the current year 463 million. For the transfer that the department made to the other entities, the Center for Public Service Innovation 2014-15, the total there being 20 million, just over 22 million, going up marginally to 23 million, 24 million, 25 million in outlying year. For the Public Sector Education and Training Authority, 24 million, 25, going 27 and 28 in the outer MTF year. For the National School of Government for the current financial year, 138 million, just over 138 million, then going up to 143, 151, 162. And for the Public Service Commission, 226 million for the current financial year, 211 for the for next financial year, going up to 224, and then 247 for the outer MTF year. I thought I should just indicate, Chairperson, that having indicated this, we show in this slide the transfers that are being made to the other entities. And in this slide, what we do is, the question is, what does CPLI, the Center for Public Service Innovation, do those transfers fund for? Now, if you look at the key issues reflected here in terms of the focus of the Center for Public Service Innovation to investigate, pilot, demonstrate, and stream models that are sustainable and solutions for innovative service delivery through a range of activities which are listed there. verification of innovative projects. There is an innovation award program that the Center for Public Service Innovation facilitates. And out of those that have been identified as winners, then they issue the compulsory verification of those innovative projects in our part of government. In addition to replicating those innovative projects, the focus is also on focusing on new innovations and making sure that they are tested and piloted. And there are a range of examples that the Center for Public Service Innovation can talk about in the very direct idea if the members would like to further engage. Also encouraging the national system of innovation to support aggressive delivery challenges in government. And the number of examples again can be given such as in the areas of duplication in dispensing of medication and crime reporting in informal settlements. And then they also use the resources to support the demonstration and implementation of innovation in the public sector. They run functional multimedia innovation center where they are based, and this then through this they are able to support a range of departments through the demonstration and implementation of innovation. Secondly, they also promote good governance in the public service, both nationally and internationally, through the sharing of best practices in public administration. There is a static online regional center for the UN Public Administration Network portal. They, as the Center for Public Service Innovation Center, as the host for that, you go to the portal, you then find a range of very useful information on innovation and lessons that are not only limited to South Africa, but go wider than South Africa. They are members of the UN Committee of Experts in Public Administration, support that committee. And from that, because their various experiences shared through that committee, the Center of Public Service Innovation themselves as a springboard that other departments can use to learn this lesson from other parts of the world to promote innovation, sound government and effective service delivery. Other clusters include the UN Expert Group on transferring innovation to developed countries to achieve their MDGs. Thirdly, they use the funds that are transferred to them to entrench the culture and practice of innovation in the public sector through innovation platforms and rich exchange products. One of these is the reward program for an aging innovation, which is the annual Center for Public Service Innovation Public Sector Innovation Award. They also host an annual conference for knowledge exchange for public sector innovation, and also work together with the national school of government for on innovation capacity building and the generation of innovation case studies and discussion papers as well. A knowledge magazine that they publish called Ideas That Work, so that those ideas that have been tested elsewhere, proven to work, they are able then to document them, producing two editions per year to share with wider audience. We also do a transfer to the National School of Government, which focuses on the areas that have been listed there. It's on the building capacity to learning and development interventions, and improving the quality of training, where they focus both on technical and specialist skills. They use the resources that are transferred to them to also develop mechanisms to help departments improve their performance. There is an assessment instrument run by the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation called MHEP. Once the results are out, they throw out a lot of very interesting areas that departments should focus on to improve. And the National School of Government, one of the institutions that can use those to develop such mechanisms for departments. Develop mentoring and peer mechanisms for senior managers, support departments in attracting and developing young talent, capacity building and professionalizing, supply chain management, and strengthening institutional capacity to identify and address social cases of corruption. The funds that are transferred to the School of Government, this is by and large for the 14-15 financial year, how they use the money for, part of it, and the money we post for training that's related to administration. So the areas of focus in ethics and anti-corruption, frontline excellence, customer care, good governance, there is a program called Hiring in the Public Service, which is a tremendous way for challenge, where senior managers are challenged to be deployed at the corporate of service delivery for a certain number of days per annum, so that they experience what is actually happening at those levels. But part of what happens before that they deployment is the payment that they go through, which the National School of Government could coordinate. They also use that for induction, compulsory induction program. They also provide training for unemployed graduates. They also provide leadership training, focusing on leadership workshop, executive development program, also training for members of legislature, and other related programs in terms of leadership. And programs for management, focusing on human resource management and development, on monitoring and evaluation, on OD, on supply chain management, and other related programs to support the skills of managers. That's what the conference is about. And the last slide here just talks about consultant spending that he just showed last year, 13-14, compared to the year before, in terms of how much was spent on consultants, 19 million, 12-13. The audit for 13-14 is still being finalized by the AG, but the figure there that we have in our financial report is 22 million. As I conclude, Chairperson, honourable members, please allow me to also indicate that we have a portfolio looked at the legacy report of the portfolio committee, the report for the period ending March 2014. We have looked at the issues that the previous portfolio committee has raised, which they want to ensure that they are taking forward as areas that require the attention of entities in the portfolio, and that we will going forward continue to engage with the committee and provide updates on how we are doing to address this particular area. For example, the committee said in its legacy report that we should focus on the value and productivity management, which we have seen included in our annual performance plan, and we will report to this committee in future about the progress we are making. The committee in its legacy report said we should focus on strengthening discipline management in the public service, and should be built into our final performance plan, and we will be able to report progress on an ongoing basis to this committee. The committee raised concerns about management and administrative instability, and your whole area on that about political administrative interface, ensuring stability at that level, and that has been built into our program. The committee spoke about ensuring that there is a sound business model for the School of Government to move from being Palama to the National School of Government, and that is part of the work that National School of Government will be reporting on an ongoing basis to this committee, and a range of other areas that have been identified in the legacy report. That is the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
Vijay.
We're going to break for tea, a better program. I wanted to engage on the presentation, and since we need to engage, we have a big document. I will now allow you to ask some questions, comments on the cost, on your budget. Let's do that in 1 hour. I think we'll be done with the engagement. Then we'll pray and then allow for the department to take us through their report. I don't see any indication that members are ready to take the presentation. Okay. I will then hand over the mic to the whip and then it will run.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm having a few issues that I want to raise, also comments.
And I would like to make thank you for opportunity, thank you for the department, for a wonderful presentation, the minister, and the deputy minister who is here. When I was deployed, you know, and I have a look at who the minister is, and sorry, Minister Paul and Shabani, I said, oh, thank you. And he said, why? I said, no, I don't prefer to work with the devil I know. I've been working with him in the presidency, and I am happy to be in this committee. I think what we also see in the presentation is that we need to focus on the life of the South African. And that is important for this portfolio. I want to start off with one point and one question that you have raised as a chairperson as far as entities reporting to the minister. I haven't read any in that regard. And also I would like to speak to the pilot that they have on formal recruitment and a recruitment scheme. Contrary to that, I'm not sure whether that means that there is no plan benefiting the department on that, and why is it that interns are leaving and we cannot retain them. Also the servants, to do business with the state is highly appreciated, and we really welcome that. What is also lacking in what plan is the announcement made by the respective minister in the party. We're happy at having the deputy minister here as well, speaking vocally and very politely on the CDW. We would like to see outcomes on the CDW conference that we have, 800,000 that we have spent, and also in this case on all the areas mentioned in the previous ministers of public service. As far as the reform areas is concerned, we would like to be that also part for the department. And regarding the investigation of corruption, what I found a little bit disturbing is the word accountability in this department. I think it's not enough just to say that we will investigate corruption. And Minister, I would like to appeal to you that this department must actually trigger intervention when it comes to corruption in order to act against those. And I also want to speak to the question under the program of labor when it comes to monitor and report. It's not enough. The current percentage is between 9 and 10. And I think there is a 10 to 5%, and we need to do more to have a minimum time to fill vacant posts, and also try to avoid having people for such a long time in acting positions. With the development of knowledge management framework, we welcome that, Minister, but the problem is that the President at any given time and also in his right deploy ministers to various departments to lead their staff. So that actually leaves uncertainty amongst our people, and that would be a problem that I can just wish the department help. On the monitoring and report a development with a set of devices for public service with disabilities. You know, a shocking observation is that within this department there are only 8 people who are at disabled that is employed. I think that we must really work on that. And there are 6 evacuation chairs within the department. I don't know whether it's plausible because there are 5 or 4 of the 8 is women per se, but we really need to do something when it comes to the disabled people. On the HR policy, I would like the department also to come clear to the committee as far as the policy, with specific reference to the leave payout due to non-utilization of leave, because elsewhere in this very huge documentation I received, I've noted that quite enormous amount of 3 persons have been paid out for leave Then, Master, this is your field. That I really feel that I have to address this with you is the performance. If you look at the current state of performance, the enumeration is actually disconnected from performance. And the main reason for that is you'll find that in most cases that senior officials are not suitably qualified or sufficiently informed to monitor performance those who report that. So again, to that, to the department, yes, a big echo and a big yay to the aptitude test that we have to write as employees within government. And so far, it's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I would like to touch on, I think, three areas. Under the strategic plan, the strategic goal, about page 7 of the presentation, where you are indicating that you address the areas of duplication, weakness, and wastage. Because we have been seeing this happening for a long time within our department. But can you unpack it in terms of what mechanisms and the areas that you have identified as duplicating these same mistakes and the wastage? Because what is wasted there could have been used meaningfully elsewhere. Again, on page 12, where you are indicating that you will create minimum level public service and administration delegation from executive authorities to accounting officers and other senior officials. Is there also a monitoring tool, that you will be using and identify the areas of weakness? Because we have been seeing that there is an ignorance in terms of the higher level officers in monitoring and supervision skills that they are having. Lastly, in the implementation of PSEPC resolution, PSEPC has got resolutions that you will implement now, but somewhere in the, but somewhere in the document also you are indicating that you will be working on drafting new resolutions of level 2. And yet there are resolutions under PSEPC that have not been implemented. And also, I would like to get an understanding that PSEPC is resolutions that are under DPSA, but you find other bargaining sectors under the very same DPSA, like each department has got its own bargaining chamber. And how does link to the PSEPC, and how do you then oversee the implementation? If I may make an example, for instance, the safety has got triple SPC. It passes its own resolution, but those resolutions get ignored or becoming hanging for a very long time and yet be linked to PSEPC section resolution and never get implemented. How do you then answer to us and give us how do PSEPC monitor, how does it monitor and how does it link to these core bargaining chambers under PSEPC per each department? Thank you.
Yes, I thank you, Chairperson. My name is Susan. Thanks, DG, for the report. Just a presentation. Mine is only one thing. You never need more clarity on the issue of public servants doing business with the state. I heard you touching on the same. We're saying that what strategy is a plan to produce that system. Because it has been an ongoing concern that it's not a good thing that public servants will also do the business with the state. It ended up bringing issues of corruption on there. Maybe if you can please explain further for me on the strategies or the plans that you have to address it. Yeah, Master.
I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you to
So to thank you for a good presentation. Mine is an expression of appreciation for one of the key action plans to be implemented, where you say the collection of the UN and improve and support the implementation of the service delivery improvement training system provided for in the public service procedures. That is the guideline. And I just wanted to emphasize that we should put emphasis on the support of the frontline staff, because to me this is very critical. It is very critical in the sense that this is a place where government interacts with the public, and this effort should be sustained without fail, because it improves the integrity of government to the community of them. As validating the little statement of the GPSA that says we belong, we care, and we serve. Yes. So I wish to put an emphasis on that. This is a very, very good effort on the part of the department. But also, Chair, on the question of the accommodation of disability. It is said to monitor and report on the development. I wish a department can also put a very serious mechanism in place to make sure that those people with disabilities are taken care of, and those that do not comply are also dealt with accordingly. As a matter of compliance, in order to better the situation, rather than limited stand now. Thank you.
Can you give
back
the industry?
Thank you. So sorry, honorable Tombela. Mine is this one. It's an issue of September. If officials can please just tell us about the parliament, I believe in the parliament. And it's perceived to be now signed into law, because I think this is very, very, for me it's very crucial, because local government is very close to my heart, and most of the problems, if you come from local government, most of the problems you will realize does not lie at the national government department, the provincial government department, it lies there, the local government department, that's where the problems are, and that's what we need to fix up in order to get service delivery going in our communities and to bring these service delivery process to an end. It lies there for the local government, not at the province level, department so much, from the local government. So for me, the member is very important that it comes to law to again can make intervention in local government in order to improve the lives of our people through delivery quality services to our people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Minister for being present here. Very much important appointment. And thank you to the presenter who is a good DJ. You've done a very good job. I've been listening to you for some time. He's a very good person. Minister, you know, the issue of the National Development Plan, Chapter 50, is highlighting what is our development after 20 years. It says this uneasiness is attributed to a complex set of factors, including tensions in the political administrative industry, instability of the administrative leadership. Now it goes on. How can we go to a block? Well, I would think that with all the service delivery challenges that we have, we do need a sense of confidence building of saying that this type of tension under leadership, you'll be able to deal with it. If you go to the island spot, you'll be able to talk to and see that strengthening implementation of financial school of remote, not much has been achieved. So I'm attributing that partly to the tension between departments or tension between officials. How are we going to help it? For parliamentarians, it's very much important for us to understand it and have a sense, so that when we do our this coming year and 5 years, we should be able to deal with it and be able to help you. Minister, there has been a stance given by the DG that we can deal with this issue. Give us some confidence that you'll be able, and what are the plans to deal with prohibiting public service from doing business with the state? How are we going to start working around that? And how could we be able to be of help as well as of parliament? Because it's an area of interest. I know something something that one public service very complaining that was the answer. But I think it's an area that we hope to be able to help us. But how do we work together to be able to deal with this particular development? Because the president has so contributed, and we need to be able to deal with this. And part of it is our time frame. It would be nice to say maybe it's a 5-year period, or how long are we going to be able to get the help from your side and be able to help you to be able to unblock your particular plan. Well, this to us, and this is something that we have to be able to do with. That's what the implication how this government is going to be able to do the service delivery. The one question I can see that it seems that this champion is going to become a mother for all. Local government, provincial government, and national government. When do you think, Minister, the President will be able to sign this one so that we can all be happy people and start doing the work? And it's been demanded of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the Department of Labour for the discussion of the Honourable Minister Chabane and the Deputy Minister Zozo. We really appreciate what you have done. So, President, before I address the Minister and his Department, can I just address on the issue of the Public Service Commission? Because I do not hear the apology. And his vote is within this vote. What does this mean? Does this mean he doesn't need the money? Because he's overseeing the department. I don't think the minister's got the power except himself to make sure that what has been delegated to him by the Act of 1979 comes back and tells us it's not here. 1997, excuse me. Now, having said that, then, because you look at his report, Honorable Chairperson, you realize that there is so much money given to him, but you look at the cases that he has taken, 3-1. Now, the report, Honorable Minister, I'm not informing you because the chair has the power to do that. So I don't know what you're going to do as a committee, but we need to get an answer. What do we need to do? Now, going back to the strict plan by the department, Honorable Minister, they're asking that you must move from whatever it was allocated to get some money. Now, if you look at the utilization of the budget of the department, which ended on the 1st of March, you are saying 20 million was unspent, so you spend the 20 million. But you're coming back, you're asking more money, but you're still sitting with 20 million, that is unfair. However, though, I do not agree with that 20 million. You must then consult with your CFO, so I'll tell you how to get through it. Now, you look at the same percentages of your program, all your programs, and the sub-program. If you look at the percentages, you see that the LRM, I don't know what does that stand for, it was given 49, it was given 28.5 million rand. They only used 21.2 million rand. The money bills doesn't allow them. It stays in company. It says the poor utilization of resources. That is the outcome of the money that was requested. Then there's the problem to what you're requesting. I'm going further. If you look at the SDOT, the former obligation in the department, I understand that too low. They're saying they utilize their budget 100%. But actually, if you listen to your DC,
You don't get it from the outcomes exactly, but now you only depend on the committee to the auditor general. Once it's done, it's auditing exactly whether that was efficient or it was it did exactly what it was allocated for. Now, you go down to the CPSI, Honorable Minister. You know, if I look at the CPSI, Honorable Minister, it is doing so much work, Honorable Minister. And they've got so much potential to assist government as a whole to identify proper solutions. I'll give you an example because in my previous life, I come from medicine. Do you know that in health, you don't have the doctors. You want the doctors. But what's happening with them is that because maybe as a government, you can't pay them enough, so that's okay, they need to do the lockdown. What they do, they go to Baragwanath, they just show up, they turn off, they are gone. Now, your unit, your division, CPSI, can assist the government as a whole to come up with a solution, to identify a solution as to how to manage the official working hours of the public service within the public services. We have telemedicine, which was started by Honorable former Minister of Health, Nkosazana Dlamini. Where is it? So that division for me, it is so crucial. And you see them being allocated 21 million. Not as the usual order, man, I don't know why. So if you can just follow their project, what is happening, that the innovation that they are putting in place. But somehow or other, maybe if you go towards a medium term budget, you need to look at that. As we go down, I don't want to say with the commissioner because he says he doesn't have the money, he's only the money. So I don't know, maybe he doesn't have the money to take a flight to come here. So I don't know. And of course, PSET and the School of Government, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, Dory Chairperson. School of Government, I don't think one of the members, I'm sure he comes from the NSP. Who are your clientele? Where are you selling those courses that you put them there? And as those courses are for who exactly? I understand that you are going to be looking at the public services. So who are you clientele? Is it the department? And if it's the department, is this division really, is it supposed to be under you? You know, there are some questions that you have to ask for that. And it's a worry, I tell you, we're supposed to transfer 138 million rands to that department. And the thing is, then what the Department of Higher Education is going to do? If we take our own money as the public of service administration, we shift it there instead of looking towards how we improve the system to manage the public service. Now, I heard that the church said to me, I'm asking it too hard, but I'm sorry if I'm hard. It's a matter of concern. It's money, yes, eh? It's money. Somebody said, I'll cut your nose in your teeth because I need money. So it's to be another good church of you. Now, I'm going back to your division LRRM. Can you see that they were given the 49 million? Okay. I'm going to be 49 million. They're asking now for 33. Now, somehow the money bill is not being audited. Somehow the money bill is a problem. The minister, they check on that. They check how they want the money. What do they want? If you ask for the money and the money is given to you, and then you put the money back, then you can have a terrible report from the auditor general. Now, you look at the public service commissioner, Honorable Chairperson, and you look at how much is allocated to the administration of the Department of Education as a whole. You'll find that the public service commissioner, who is supposed to be the overseer of the department, has got an extra of 40 million. But you look at the task that has been allocated to the Honorable Chairperson, you only find that what they are supposed to do other is to investigate, monitor, evaluate, organization, and administer internal practices of the public service. That's what the Supreme Court law is saying today. Now, having said that, you go right down to the consultants that are employed by the department. The department employs consultants to do the business, but some of them is research and analysis. If I remember what you did, you said it. It's research and analysis. Now, if it's research, don't you have some duplication? Don't you have a duplication between the CPSI and the PSC of investigation? Who's investigating what? Yeah, let's get clear to them. But when the money goes, you know, and after you do the oversight, you know that, no, that investigation, that indicator of what I'm to do is just like the money went away. Because I'm assuming that the person who's creating innovation must have more investigation. You need to investigate the problem and say, here is the problem with this resolution, because you're not getting a thorough understanding of the problem, you won't be able to come up with an individual solution. So I need to understand that. And going back to your consultant expenditure. Business and advisory services, you spend 14 in the previous, the big 10%, but now it's 12 million. Whereas with the contractors, which I'm assuming they should be some black, broad empowerment group within those contractors, you spend on 7.5 million. And any government singing the song of creation of jobs. Creation of jobs is our song. And ANC would love to see that happening. So, Honorable Chairperson, thank you for your time. And I hope our first part to sum us up.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. But probably the answer has protruded here, Chair, to you. There's Moti, Wasajin, and also Mashamir, that side also. If she can be the Minister of Finance, we'll never get money. Honorable Boyce to comment in terms of also Honorable Mashamir, to say we really appreciate the Minister and DM for presence. And I hope the next department, the Minister and DM, will be here. Because honestly, the people that were going to speak with the Honorable Minister, other than the administration. But having said that, Chair, I want to say also we want to appreciate and acknowledge that this department performs depending nicely on our department responding positively in terms of our output and our progress as affected by the country and our government. Secondly, I would like to make this comment that clean audit report and sign off by the AG doesn't necessarily equate to the actual key performance indicators and objectives of the department. Hence, also, we will raise some issues because we have a clean report, it doesn't mean that everything we have performed is expected. And I'm sure that's why the DG also the I'm told is a nice DG that some of his departments are not here to help government contracts and the like. Chairperson, probably what we need to look at as a department moving forward is how do we get here. To ensure that the bargaining council decisions are observed and respected. Noting that respective department also has got their governing chambers. But how do we deal with that? Citing one example from where I'm coming from, it is a municipality. There was an agreement and the court made a judgment 4 years back. But at the dawn of the election, which was run about in March or so, Metropolis has to embark on a strike. In part of the decision that
the court has made a pronouncement on will or not implemented by the manager, by the department, by the municipality, which is in a way we're sitting. Then I'll go to honorable director what the point is raised in terms of local government that also how do we ensure that without also galloping and undermining the laws in the different state of government to ensure that we assist in that area and have a close monitoring thereof. The other part that I would like to comment on, which is my fourth point, would be I like when you have set aside days for training, compulsory, you said mandatory training days, but also must be also be coupled with many these mandatory training areas. And I would like moving forward here when we engage with the departments, not today, definitely not, that the School of Government also take us through what training areas do they embark on. Do they talk to the challenges as the first figure in countries that we encounter? Because it's a nice thing to have, but also just we don't get paid for money. I'm not saying it's fast, but when we're getting the first presentation, one will be keen on that. Honorable Manager, inspecting 100 interventions. How do we as a department are supposed to be proactive? Not to invoke 100, but to say how do we proactively present that? Because some of these occurrences, whether it's local department or local government way is more fashionable. I haven't seen in provincial government other than one province. How do we ensure that from the findings of the AG and their risk management reports and their plans also talk to those areas and monitor the risk management plan very closely because it could help and save our faith on that shift. I think some of the honourable members have raised those ones. How can we manage the multi-departmental function that goes overlapping, although it's a clear function, i.e. the theatre, vis-à-vis the other department that deals with the issues of education and training holistically. How do we manage so that we don't lose sight or we tend not to be seen not performing on any of the specific areas that we need to attend to. The other one here, which it picks up from Honorable Madame's point in terms of financial, going to your department, Minister, through your chairperson, Honorable Chair, there is more than 50% that go to administration, which is your salaries and wages and all your operational budget. Let me say that in terms of what you're dealing with, all your resource issues of the department, but all your core output, it doesn't seem to be balancing. How do you manage not to go overboard? I wouldn't necessarily, I don't want to be broad as possible, I don't know if it's specific or not. I think we need to look at that. My seventh point, the CCW. How do we ensure that the administration and management of the CCW in different provinces and different municipalities? Because they seem, at the grassroots level where they operate, they seem to belong to themselves in terms of reporting and also integrating whatever findings they have on their GP families are there. And also the work of other municipalities like municipalities that have got master's in terms of also having their community development worker. How do you align that so there is no duplication? I'm not saying you must take more digital views away from KZN in particular, but I'm just saying there's a relaxed management of our digital views. The last point here. We need to have a better mechanism through probably the cabinet sitting where we ask our departments to ensure that performance contracts are being signed. Because performance contracts also does assist us to say what remedy for underperforming and non-performing. If we don't think on that, and because I don't see any professional or
government specialists, if I may use that word, that will appreciate as no performance conduct, not to be measured, not to be told that they are doing well, not to be assisted, not to be mentored, and all those things. Also, it will also ensure and encourage performance career mobility within the organization, which is government and the system. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Member, the public service has been approved as the Executive Director presenting the Commission, like other entities. So you will be able to take questions that you raise, but the Department will advise on that one. My issue is around, I think one of the members raised it, very basic, but I think it should be emphasized. The finalization of tenders, because it seems like without the tenders, there's no way that the department would be able to know. If maybe today we can get some information as to how far that process is, and what is it that can be done to make sure that we get the bills being passed into a law, so that we can then start drawing programs that will then ensure that the public service is actually it moves and gets to a position where it's supposed to be. I'm also worried that the local government was never considered as a sphere of government, that the bill going to address that. Thank you very much, members, for questions. I'm going to allow the minister to start that advice, and then he will be able to support to respond to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And thank you for honorable members for the questions and comments which have been made. A lot of issues have been raised, quite a bucket full of them. But fortunately, some of them are more of issues which are being raised for purpose of flame, that we should not lose sight of them as we proceed with our work during the course of the year. And some of them are almost like advice which we need to look at. However, there are quite a number of issues which are for this case which may need to be responded to. I would not go into the details of responding to those issues I think that this year and the people from the School of Governance and the PSC would be able to deal with those matters. And I'll just firstly comment on the general aspects of things which are basically cross-cutting. The first one is that we would know that there have been changes which have taken place as a result of after the election, which is likely to affect the number of the operations of the number of departments. And there are quite a number of functions which are being transferred currently between one department and the other. So it is possible that as we pass the budget and we move forward, we might not be that seriously affected ourselves, but I think as we move forward, quite a number of departments will see that the target of functions which would have moved and the budget remaining on the other side of the department as we proceed. But those are some of the things which will be corrected as we move forward. There are general questions which have been raised, which I thought was probably one we need to comment on. The first one is the issue of duplication of functions. Not only within my understanding, the question was not only within the table of the public sector administration, but also with other entities or other government institutions. For those who have been here, I was on the other side, I was with the on TNU, where the running battles with the PSC and the public service and administration, and also the Department of Monitoring and Development on this issue. Let me start by saying government is one. That's the starting point. The fact that we have been packaged into small corners is for the purpose of functionality. That we're able to at least focus on this issue that would work, so that we're able to execute the public service which are supposed to prevent society. However, there is always a challenge where duplication, what can be duplicating that here. In most cases, it's more about our egos, not because there should be duplication which can be dealt with. because we are unable to work as collectives, to work as a team, to work in a complementary manner, and to assist each other as we move forward. And as a result, it results into it blockading. It is highly unlikely that you will find a function of government which will not correlate with any other part of government. Highly unlikely. The government is so complex that from time to time we find those overlapping. But I think crucial part is how do we ourselves touch with responsibility, understand that we have to work together in order to deliver the services we should distribute, and allow those who can deliver a particular service, a particular function, efficiently to do so without us having to challenge one another. There is a greater need, not only for institutions within education, but particularly departments and institutions to provide some better services, to work together as a team. With the General Public Service Commission, PKME, Public Service and Administration, Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. And another institution which main function is to support government institutions to function. It's important that we work with. There's no way in which there will be no national affairs. There's no way that there will be areas which it seems to be overlapped. It's not possible. And that is why working together becomes important. To that extent, and probably given my experience on the other side of the fence, on the other side of the coin, I think we have learned quite a number of lessons in the past 5 years that we should be able to improve in that area. Obviously, there will be areas which will be create tension from time to time, but I think we are better positioned now to deal with those. I did have a discussion with the Auditor General from this position. We used to work together on the other side, even from this position. We had a meeting with the Auditor General just to begin to understand what are the issues. In general, I think if we begin to focus on things which we think will be critical for us to do, for example, I think it will be incorrect for us as DPSA to focus a lot of time and attention on trying to look for problems. Going around and looking for problems, see their problems, get their problems. There are a lot of institutions which may have to do that. And when the Public Service Commission, they focus on a particular issue. DPME is there focus on a particular issue. The Auditor General focus on a particular issue. Our main activity and task in coordination with all these institutions is to say these things which they discover as they go along. We think it should be our responsibility to assist departments to correct it. So that our focus is on looking for solutions to problems which have been identified by these other institutions, rather than for us to commit in other important research or investigations to understand what the problem is, where the problem is actually known. And I think if we can spend much of our energy in the next 3 years focusing on that area, we will assist in getting some of the departments, because our team is basically to support the institution. Now, if the same deal comes in the operating, we'll be trying also to assist in the strategy. But for now, if we ask as provincial departments, national departments, and government institutions which are taking various services to perform better. And if we focus most of our attention there, rather than our own internal problems, I think we are likely to make a difference in a quite short space of time. And that's why I'm saying the experience of the past 5 years, I think, is that platform from which we can be able to take, to begin to take some of the issues, including issues which will look currently as duplication. On the
issue of the performance transfer,
the part of the reforms which are going to come through, particularly between the PSA and the CPME, is to change the content of the performance contract. So that they are reflective of what is contained in the outcome and the strategic plan and whatever case may be of all senior managers from DGs or head of departments down. So there's a direct relationship between what expected the outcome of a departmental report and what should be in a personal contract. At the moment, most of the personal contracts, you can't, and that's why you can't hold parents directly accountable on certain issues, because the personal contract has got long, very little relations with what we meant in the tribunal's report or in any other report which may be produced or any other institution. And that part is beginning to synchronize. I think the president and the chairman detained me. I was on that part to ensure that the government contract, not only on the case of the department, but also for other senior officers as we go down, I actually stabilize in such a way that we can be put to stay with content. That if somebody, we say somebody has not performed, if they relate to what they've agreed should have been done. Now, that is another issue which has been raised, but it has been raised in public. The issue of delegation of functions. The issue of delegation of functions becomes critically important for the function of the institution, especially the institutions which are providing public services and which have got a widespread geographical presence. For example, what type of delegation do you present as a police station which is somewhere in Masisi? That is the border of Kintina, very far from the quarter, or any other service point you can get. What type of delegation do you give to the station commissioner? Whether in procurement, what decisions to make, what is not decisions to make. And a lot of institutions like that, because government basically does not operate more like a private business, providing such a service rather than as all the issues can actually have. Now the delegation of functions and the delegation as cited in the National Government Development Plan of all the work processes in government will be crucial also to strengthen the performance contract. Because once delegation is appropriate delegation, it is easier then to hold anybody accountable on the only basis of what has been agreed people to deal with. The other generic issue which I suppose I needed to deal with I'll deal with it at a theoretical level, not specifically responding to the specific question, but it's a matter which I hear from time to time, and it has never been fully debated as to what is our intention strategically as a state or as a country to deal with it. So an issue around service providers, especially those who are referred to as consultants. There are nations whose main economy is based on what we call services industry. What it means is that it builds an enormous capacity of knowledge, whether in engineering, on accounting, on anything, and provides that as a service to other nations, and that becomes their main source of income. Now, how do you come to that point to build that point? It's a question which I think, when we talk about the service industry, what is it that we're talking about? But at a practical level, it's highly unlikely that you'll find any government institution having probably, maybe with the exception of Kenya, let alone financial matters, having more than 15 or 20 CA at any given time. So that's a problem. If you have to have a project which requires a skill of that need, there's very few government institutions will find with a highly concentrated amount of skill and knowledge than in a private sector company which main funding data is to deal with financial matters. So if you want a task to be done, you can't rely on bookkeepers in that regard. Otherwise, lending yourself is another major problem. Some of the institutions which we see, and I'm not sure if the Rotary General has internal capacity to do it of all the government institutions, except doing it to consulting other people to do it. So when we look at the services which is required, at least having worked in public for some time and dealing with the need of roads, it was very clear to me and the team which we were working, there is no way we can have all the capacity we need to execute the number of projects we need to execute. But if you are with, for example, if a company has got 20 engineers in one place, it is easy for them to be contracted to a number of projects. But if They are concentrated in one place and they are waiting for government. You can't move to another institution. It means we'll be sitting with capacity which is redundant. Because we'll never have a number of projects sufficient enough to satisfy. And because of the shortage of skills. So it's quite an interesting debate, I think. It will be important for the public to get engaged in. So that we don't throw ourselves in both for the total time. They should be made. But it's going to be made from time to time. No, we're spending a lot of money on the culture. I think it's important for us to unpack. There are those issues which I agree.
But maybe the big issue that
we need to pay
for money.
Yes, exactly. That's the way I'm coming. That we need to unpack on what aspect of this work of government are we spending money on consulting. Because there are clear areas where people just spend money because they just want to spend. As we proceed, I think it's important for us to drill down. And it's important for departments themselves to be conscious of the fact that they should not themselves spend money on areas which normally they should be able to do internal, or they could find other topics to be able to deal with. The last issue I would like to deal with is with regards to the hand bill. As we know that once parliament has passed the bill through to the president, for us, we just wait for the president to sign it off. The president is not a member of parliament, so we should not assume that the president knows what the candidate is going to talk about. He has received proper advice. And secondly, that the president will have to take the legalities, he has to be taken by the lawyers, he has to be taken the constitutionality for the deals and the projects. It's a process which takes a lot of time on its own. I think if we allow the president to do that, and allow us and inform us at a particular time that they can be able to sign it into law, we could be able to do that. So to that extent, we might not be ourselves to be able to respond to say, this is the time or this is the area, this is the time which we think the president would sign the bill. With regard to the issue of the political interface, which has been raised with regard to political offices and administration. It's a matter which has been raised a matter of concern in the national development plan. There are proposals which have been made by the NDP to see if they are implemented, they cannot be able to overcome some of those areas. So we are busy working on those issues now to try to see how we can be able to overcome those issues together with the presidency. So that at least in the implementation of the NDP, one of the issues we need to deal with quite quickly is that aspect to ensure that we deal with this time. I think most of the issues which have been raised, the team would be able to respond to. But generally, I think as we proceed to do the work, we are going to come back to most of these issues. And then it's happening in the committee. And I think the committee will rely on the committee to help us. Sometimes it's sitting there, you think it's still, but when the committee raises it from the other side, you begin to understand, you know, a lot of things you take for granted when you are sitting on your own. And that's why we take the work of the committee going to help us. And for us, when the committee becomes sad and becomes critical, it helps us to be also on the other side, and we begin to respond to issues and begin to follow up on the issues which need to be done. This one issue though, which I thought probably is an issue I may need to deal with, is the issue of the peacekeeper. The peacekeeper. As you know, for example, the other speaker, the SITA, is moving to, it's an entity which reported to us, that is moving to telecommunications. It doesn't appear in the budget. Now we're discussing the budget, but when we discuss the department in general, it will appear as a critical, and then we'll go down, which also reports the department and so on and so forth. But the peacekeeper, as you know, that most of it has been moved to higher education. The peacekeeper also is moving to higher education. So probably the next time you might not see the budget of peacekeeper in our budget. With regards to the school of governance, that's why it should not go to higher education training. We do not make those decisions. If they wake up tomorrow, they say move it. We don't even debate the issue. It's not about prerogatives to decide on that matter. But the issue which I think we may need to look at is that The public service and administration training is more of an in-service training than training public service, training somebody to become a public servant. What I mean is you don't want to establish a school when you wake up in the morning and I want to train to be a public servant. You say I'm going to go to Palama. But go to the university and get trained there as an administrator. Then when you come to public service, you say no, but this is how this is the experience in government, this is how things function and this is how we want our people. And that's how we understood the way of the public service, that it should increase the skills and to use the experience which has been built over the years to improve on the services which are supposed to be provided by the public service. So there is a very low which is important when it's prepared to do that. When we did the last that when we do the changes in government sometimes, I think those were the last time we remember the debate which was there between water affairs and environmental affairs with regard to the issue of non-land fisheries. How do you have water being dealt with by other people when the fish live in water and the fish clean out the tide? No. From time to time you find those type of debate. For example, how do we deal with them with the medical scheme? What is the Department of Health? So from time to time we find those type of things. And I think for us, our attention should not, as a department, should not focus more on looking for the reason why the same thing should be there. Those who make a decision of moving elements should move them. But as long as this is decided with us, we have to make sure that they must function properly, they must do what the mandate for them is supposed to be done. Thank you, Chair. And I think I'll pass the bat maybe to the DM, then the Palama, no, the National School of Government, then the PSC if they're here, and then the CPU will record out of the administrative issue.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's probably for both of us, if I say more after for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister and the team. Minister, I see the issues are facing the National School of Government, the Minister. I think we did respond to that in our time. There are not any other specific issues that can take to the School of Government. Thank you. The specific question that was asked, Honorable Chair, was who are the lines of the National School of Government? And the question, that's what I'm doing. I'm responding to the question of who are the lines. That's where the departments are the lines, the government departments are the lines. And the next question was why must be under NTSA, and I think the Minister adequately answered that thing, and the issue of why are these not belong to the higher education department, that has been adequately answered by the Minister. So I think the question that was specifically answered, who are the clients? The clients are the department. Suffice to say that where the local government, which is not the does not belong to the sphere of public service, there are direct relationships where there is a specific municipality that requires saying that we enter into an MOU with that particular municipality and customize training to that particular request of the municipality. Except that we also have the training in the public service, we also have a provincial academy, which obviously attend to the requirement of those provinces. But we work with them in terms of norms and standards and also in terms of being public service in that area.
And I think those are the particulars that we work with. And also in issues of generic training, we also use the higher education institutions that we work with, and also individual providers who are consulted in this respect.
Thank you,
Chief.
There was actually no question related to the CPSI, and there was a comment in the city of particular importance. And I believe that the minister noted the necessity of the city. Thank you.
No, the question about
the research analysis is actually a CPSI function, not the CPSI. The CPSI, we have a small component which is called research and development, but it really simply focuses on confirming the challenges, the problems that have been brought to us for innovative solutions to be developed, just to make sure that we deal with the real issues, the real causes of those problems. It's coordination and venture finding, which around that we don't reinvent the name, that the solutions that already exist come to the fore and there is a branch in the field which is called research and analysis, and the ability to use here to make sure that the comment on that certificate to do. Or is it the director general? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister, Deputy Minister, and honourable members. The questions that related to the Public Service Commission were why there is no authority, yet the DPSA transfers 201 million in the past financial year to the Public Service Commission. Just to say that, in terms of with no tested comment, however, we still know that the Public Service Commission is going to come and put the commission on its own agency as well. So, in terms of the arrangement that we normally do, is that it will come and be the fuller presidential committee in that. And also, when it relates to, I think there was a question about the whole chamber of research and investigation and duplication and all that, I have to say that as part of the PSE's branches, there are sections of the public administration investigation relating to either corruption issues, issues of maladministration, irregularities, procurement and appointment and so forth. So that footprint will be provided when we come to the committee, which I hope is going to be there. So, thanks.
No, I think the problem is that they didn't understand what we're doing. I think.
Yeah.
The purpose of this gathering is because we have submitted the budget as a platform. In that budget, there's an allocation for PSC. The members of parliament, they know that there is a strategic plan which will come, there are other things that are going to come. But the purposes of parliament, passing the budget, parliament wants to understand. If we are saying we are passing this money through the vote of DPSA and it's going to PSC, what is this money going to do? And that's why the response to that question, without getting to the budget, and basically we should come. Maybe in 6 months we come to budget. By the time the budget would take place in parliament, at least members of the committee are well informed and confident that what they are voting for is something which has been provided. So that is the basic. The thing goes to the white discussing those details of those issues, but it's for the good of the budget. It's important for the committee to understand that by the time they recommend the parliament to adopt, at least the committee tells the state that this money is being voted for.
is meant for what is supposed to be done. I think the TSC needs to understand from that context. Not from the context that is before the parliament, not from the TSC. Because your answer is very via towards, it's going towards that direction, and not HY, because that's easy by reporting to parliament, and therefore we can't be, we can't be put on our books. It's for the people to fight it. So that's why the committee needs some answers, some clarification with the issues. And that's why they didn't go to CT, the general question to the debate, which I think is important in this context.
Thank you very much for the direction. I think when I was referring to that, I wasn't necessarily, I was just saying that we normally, the Public Service Commission will be here when we do this process, regarding the personnel level, also for the person here. But in terms of what the activities or what the money that has been allocated to the Public Service Commission is that close to the Public Service Commission comprising of 14 commissioners at DDG level in terms of remuneration. So the bulk of the allocation that goes to the Public Service Commission actually goes to remuneration of employees. And then the rest of the allocation will then go to the three main programs, which are monitoring and evaluation, which is running the public service monitoring and evaluation system throughout the public service, and also looking at production of the state of the public service report, the public service barometer, and also research in various issues, including the citizen satisfaction surveys and the citizen forum. And in this financial year, we have embarked on a program to promote the constitutional values and principles, because we felt that through the MNT system, when we were conducting monitoring in the past, we realized that there is a gap in terms of partners really understanding what is expected of them in terms of the conditions in terms of their implementation. And then the second program that is going to that we have is the leadership and mentor, which deals with issues of labor relations improvement. Mainly here is the investigations and of employees against one which the EA and the employees are not satisfied. There is a high number of grievances that the Public Service Commission deal with emanating from employees. And the time vary from province to province, but mostly this kind of grievances emanate from the performance management system and the specific, the occupation specific dispensation. That's where most of the kind of grievances that we are dealing with, from that time. Then the third branch, the intelligence and anti-corruption branch, which deals with public administration investigation. In this instance, we conduct various investigations in terms of appointment, in terms of procurement, in terms of delivery, and also with and we are running also the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, and out of that National Anti-Corruption Hotline, there are also other investigations that are then conducted to help on specific cases that have been reported. And as part of promoting constitutional values and principles, we also have professional ethics, where we promote the good conduct in terms of professional ethics to make sure that public servants behave in the most acceptable manner, and also conduct investigations of corruption related issues. So these are the main focus in terms of what the Public Service Commission is actually doing in terms of implementing the mandate of the mandate in terms of protection. subverting the position. Thank you.
Commissioner indicates that he has utilized 100% of his office budget. And he requests, more money. The authority is that the different ones in 26 million, the first concession from the public service. Public service concession is 26 million to the commissioner. But the commissioner understands in the previous year. So it's still about 224 million. And the department transferred 236 million. The question is, the extra money that was transferred is for the what? Because we don't have anything. It's still not only three programs, but you can answer that.
Is there any other question?
No, I wanted to advise the commission that it might have been related to the fourth parliament program of how that was. He needs him to consult with the portfolio committee and the team of Shepherd and Chief. But he thinks he's running behind and he can end up with no one. I don't think that he must be very cautious about from the parliamentary program, very good program.
Thank you. Thanks for the follow-up. In terms of the I just don't have the figures in terms of we almost 100% of our debt. Money that was not spent from last year, financial year, but then not sent back to national treasury in terms of the requirements. In terms of the question, the advice that has been given, we accept the advice. That's why I said in terms of what if had we known that we would be required more out of, we would have tried to get the chairperson and all the other people here to be around so that we will convey the message. That's the most important issue.
I assumed the specifics that Honorable Masha may have asked is the financial expenditure has been okay? Which will mean that either the good committee was informed and convinced us why the increase in terms of the budget for the last year they understand. Thank you. Before end of this week on Monday, so that there should be able to go through during our portfolio. And if there is, you should be ready. That you might be to come and present to the portfolio.
Didi, all questions are covered. Can you then?
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think just to indicate that the other issues, as the government has indicated, will take them forward as a recommendation. For example, issues that have been raised in terms of compulsory training areas for public service. At the moment, in terms of the compulsory national program, for example, the areas that are but I think the challenge being raised is as we go forward, how do we continue to identify other areas that we regard as compulsory for the public service. We also taken the comments made by
initially show focus on frontline stuff when we talk about service delivery improvement support, monitoring of compliance in terms of reasonable accommodation, that we will take forward as well, monitoring of the implementation of the delegation framework, as has been raised in the presentation. I think in future engagement we can then be able to talk about other areas such as the Honourable Luna talked about how do we preempt the invoking of Section 100 in departments. And obviously I think on the one part five is what Treasury does, because if you look at Section 100 in Limpopo, Treasury is probably coming in terms of how the finances were managed. But now we have a series of other instruments that are there. Our work with GCME, for example, on the performance and performance. Two, you will see the quality of management practices in departments, and you can begin to see patterns that if something is not done, this department is going down the drain. But we can engage on those kind of instruments in terms of ensuring that we obviate the need to introduce Section 100 in departments. For the other areas that have been mentioned as well on our work relating to CDWs, that is certainly on the problem of what the department does, and we will be able to engage with the committee on those areas. First, the one particular issue has been raised by several members relating to prohibiting public servants from doing business with the state. At the moment, in terms of the framework that are there and have been approved, the integrity management framework provides for that. The problem in part is the legal one, that it is not illegal. It's unethical, but it's not illegal. And if you apply to your executive authority to do other work for which you get paid, and the executive authority approves, the person not know what kind of activity you are going to work on. And you embark on activity and you get paid, but it happens that perhaps you are an official in the Department of Health in the Eastern Cape, and you have a company that does business with the Department of Public Health in Mpumalanga. You will have received the necessary approval from the executive authority, perhaps unknowingly that they are promoting this kind of malpractice. So the first step is to make it illegal, to say that you will not engage in this kind of practice. But the second step obviously becomes enforcement, to make sure that through enforcement, those public servants who are found to have engaged in this kind of activities, it's not just a matter of it being unethical, but it's also a matter of it being in contravention of the public service groups themselves. The research and analysis area is a new one for us. As this program unfolds, we will be able to share the products with this committee, but the idea was to provide for capacity to help us think ahead as a public service. Where are we taking this public service? So if you see one of the examples contained in the presentation, which is on productivity management, it's something that has been mentioned before, it has been discussed before, but this is the first time that we're trying to get grips with it. What does it mean in practical terms to promote the productivity in the public service? So the expectation is that they will then continue to provide us with support on thinking ahead on how to make the public service more efficient, more effective, where is the public service going. But because it's a new area, we should advise that let's make sure that there is no overlap, there is no duplication with the other research work and innovation work has been happening elsewhere in the public service. I'll leave that to the President.
Thank you very much. Public Service and Administration. Members, we're going to break for lunch. 30 minutes. Minister, are you staying for the duration of the meeting?
Yes,
sir. You're putting your
clients.
No, you're clients.
I hope I'm allowed to leave so that we can go and do other work.
Okay, thank you very much for attending the portfolio committee. We really appreciate your leadership and hoping that going forward we'll see your presence in this committee. And thank you very much for a wonderful presentation and the high level of I'm not sure how it is.
person. I think you're also present. Thank you very much. Let's wait for 30 minutes. I'm also speaking the minister. This is it? Yes? No? Okay. The DM as well. Thank you very much for my attendance. Then with me, 30 minutes, I'll pass on the dog reception.